I'm Brian.
And I'm Reggie.
And this is R&B Talk.
R&B Talk
Show. R&B Talks.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Reggie.
Brian.
Casual sir. How are you?
Recovering.
Recovering from a mighty effort of chopping and whittling down wood. I must confess I am impressed with your desire to split the wood.
Oh,
with
dude.
Savagery.
It is indeed. Because it's definitely something I've had to say. I think today is one of those days I really need to.
Yeah. You came over the other day and you were roughing it. We'll say it that way. It was a legitimate moment where I was like, are you all right?
I get caught up in it, dude. I think it's just like.
It's the savage in you, man.
I mean, you just.
That's the thing at the gym for me. Dude, I get in there and I start working. I got to be careful because the savage comes out when you're in the gym.
Yeah, I mean.
When you're out there doing stuff that gets your adrenaline flowing and your blood pumping, and all of a sudden you start to get a little bit of that little bit of animalistic thing going, it's hard not to concoct that into some strong work going on out there, buddy.
I know. Well, I did stop. So I was using the mall a lot. And because that was a more strenuous activity.
Well, yeah, it's heavier.
Yeah. And I'm obviously not just, I'm actually paying attention to the core, which is part of why it's so strenuous for me. But, you know, when you bring that mall down, I'm contracting my, the core completely to pull it down from the core out. Mm-hmm. Right. And so if you're doing that with an 8-pound mall, it doesn't take long for that to kind of wear you out if you've not been doing it for very long. Right. Well, even for if you haven't, that's still a pretty strenuous thing. So I've modulated that a little bit to the more of the splitting acts versus that. But anyway, I guess the key question here is what in the world is that this is just a phenomenal time to be alive.
It is. We're getting right down to the nitty gritty, folks.
I mean, dude, this is just, it's just nutso, dude. It's just nutso.
Man, it's just a clown show. It really is. It's just a giant entertaining clown show. And we're all in the ring, man, just listening to them go to town. To listen to, first of all, let me speak directly to the willingly ignorant. Look, I'm not a Trump's, I won't say I'm not a Trump supporter. I'm not a Trump fan. I'm not a fan of his unpresidential manner with which he represents himself. I'm not a fan of his ego. None of that's really does anything for me. But I'm going to say it. Kamala Harris is a clown show of the lineage of videotapes of her lying against the position she's taking now, and from recent to as far back as 10 years ago, her record as a just broken politician. And what amazes me is the stunning number of people who, regardless of the fact that there is obvious pathways to the lies that she's told, who have just jumped on the bandwagon. And I'm like, and I'm going to say this, and I hope somebody argues with me, because I will argue about this. It says nothing about her character. She's a politician. Every politician's a liar. It says something about your character that you would fall in line behind someone who is knowingly a liar and support them despite of their obvious dramatic and tragic character flaws.
I'm going to say something that's even more strong.
Awesome. Lay it out, bro.
Kamala Harris is the highest ranking DEI hire than the country.
Yeah, for sure. Sorry. Sorry, man. Say what I feel. And here's the thing. And this is what bothers me too. You know, Trump came out and called her a DEI pick. All right. So all you did for the last 5 years is scream about how important DEI was. When they took DEI out of certain higher education institutes, you all nearly burnt the building down with your disgust. You were proud of DEI and all that it accomplished. And then somebody comes out and says that someone is a DEI hire, and all of a sudden he's a racist and a bigot and a toxic masculine piece of garbage because he used your term. The term you guys shoved down our throats for years and years and years. Now you're mad because he used it?
It might be propaganda.
Bum, bum, bum. Propaganda.
So, yeah, I mean, I truly think that, you know, the she's a puppet just like Biden is. I mean, that's the thing. I think that's what if you're supporting Kamala Harris, you're basically saying I'm supporting her, not her really, but the puppet masters behind her.
You're supporting the cabal.
Yeah. I mean, so look,
have I told you I like that word
cabal?
Cabal.
I know it's very ominous.
I feel like there should be some kind of like deep, like emotional, like boom, boom, boom every time you say that word.
But anyway, so I mean, I just look, it's political. The political spectrum right now is a complete and utter chaotic circus. And I'm repulsed by it, to be fair. Yeah,
it's honestly wears me out.
Yeah. I mean, the only reason why I'm even remotely paying attention to anything is just because I feel like it's like a duty.
Yeah. Well, but honestly though, it's rubbernecking at this point. You're looking at the train wreck. It's the car wreck that you rubberneck as you drive by it. Right. Like, What Trump Harris train wreck can happen next, right? What thing will they accuse Trump of and try to say this? And what dumb thing will she say that we'll say is somehow brilliant and, you know, unburdened by what is and by what was that could be yesterday? A month ago. What? I don't know what any of that means. Like, give me some substance in the statement. And Trump too. Like, I get it, dude. You're at a rally, you're riffing, but dude, keep it on issues, man. I don't want to hear you call people stupid. And it makes me think less of you, right? That's where you're going. But you're right. It's a giant, it's literally Barnum and Bailey's three ring circus on crack.
Well, don't you know, though, that Trump is the Antichrist? And
he is, isn't he?
And that the Bible speaks to him directly.
Yeah.
Of his Antichristness.
Yeah.
Don't you know?
No, I don't. Sorry.
I don't either.
And that's something else I want to specifically tap on real quick. And I'm saying this because it aggravates me. Look. Be a Christian, believe in God, or don't. It's not that I don't want you to have everlasting life or anything like that. But if you're going to attack my faith, could you do me a favor and attack it in a manner with which is educated, at least with the subject matter that you're trying to use, and stop vomiting up garbage that has nothing to do with my faith and misquoting the Bible and misquoting scholars and it's insulting in a way where I'm like, I feel like you're having an argument with a child.
Well, okay, here's my thing about this. And we spoke about this a little bit.
Yeah, we did.
Like if you're an atheist and you're like a, you know, proud, you are, you know, waving that flag banner and that's what you that's your platform, and you kind of always tell everybody how religion is evil and especially Christianity and all this stuff. And then you turn around and post something about the Antichrist and this Bible verses and stuff. That just makes you look dumb.
Yeah. Just makes you, it just makes
then
you
you're
look
saying,
ridiculous.
Then you're legitimizing these concepts that you have proclaimed to be so heinous and so unbelievably false and fairy tale like that. And then, but then you go around and you just use it.
Yeah.
Well, that don't make any sense.
Like I said before, if you want to argue positionally with me, argue from your position. If you're an atheist, argue from an atheistic position, right? Don't argue from a Satanist position, because if you're an atheist, you don't believe in anything. So why would you even bring that up?
Yeah.
If you're gonna argue with me from your position, make sure I'm not more educated on your position than you are. Because in most cases, you and I are more educated than most people we argue with
There's just no intellectual argument anymore, because the only place people are willing to do it is on Facebook
or
Instagram or Twitter.
Because you don't have to face the consequences of what you say.
And I mean, it just doesn't go anywhere. And so it's just, but I mean, in here lately, I've felt compelled to speak my mind, but
we now call it going Reggie. We go Reggie.
Speaking of what's not going Reggie is the Olympic opening ceremony.
Oh my gosh.
Look, we got to talk about this for a little bit because it's not just what they portrayed on for the world, but it's this populist Christian like theme of, oh, it's the law. They don't know any better. And it really wasn't intentional to be this and that. It was, you know, but that's itself is garbage and disinformation and propagandic type of nonsense.
Well, let's be clear. All this, they didn't mean to, hot bucket of snot garbage. Someone planned it. Look at the person in the middle at the table. It is a depiction of a classic Catholic depiction of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Say what you want about Dionysus and all the stuff that they're talking about. That was a straight shot across the bow at Christianity.
Jonathan Pajot. I don't know how you pronounce his name, but I've watched
Pajot.
He is a respected like Christian. I guess you call him a scholar. He's written some books and stuff. But anyway, the tableau that they had, the name of the tableau, is wordplay in French. La scène de la scène sur la scène, which translates to the scene of the Last Supper on the Seine River. So the, okay, not only that, what he said was the head of the event said it was referencing the Last Supper. The head of the event said that.
Yeah.
And the DJ, that person in the middle, posted saying it was the New Gay Testament. But that was deleted and posted something that, oh, it was really Dionysus. So I think really that unless you tell me that the, and it can convince me of the fact that the people that produced this event, every single one of them had never seen Da Vinci's Last Supper. Unless you can convince me that's the truth.
Yeah.
This was intentional.
They were in France. What is right up the street from where they performed?
Might be the Last Supper shown at the
Louvre, where the depiction of the Last Supper. Come on. Come on, guys. Ignorance of facts is one thing. Just being ignorant to be ignorant is another. Right. And this is just what I'm talking about. Don't be stupid. Don't take me to be a rube and try to convince me that something is what it isn't what it is. Right.
So, I mean, really what they're doing is propaganda. So that, because that's the whole subject of the thing. But this Olympic ceremony thing is very much a propagandist theme. That's what they're doing. They mocked Christianity. They mocked the Last Supper. They did that on purpose. Never mind the half naked people and all this stuff that was up there. That was disgusting anyway. I mean, no, I don't. I'm going to call it what it is. That's gross. It was gross. Behind all that, it was a mockery of a very critical piece of Christian faith history that has been around for a long time.
And you know what? Something else that kind of intrigues me. All of these people who are anti-Christian history, well, you're interpreting these historical finds to fit your faith narrative. No, we're not. It happened. They're mocking it and making fun of it. Shut up. Sorry. I don't want to harp on it, but it's just, it's this, it's the epicity of the ignorance and the willful ignorance that is driving me nuts, man. It's not that you have a different view from me. Good for you. You can think critically. Awesome. But are you thinking critically? Do you do the research for your view? Do you do the research of the opposite view? Or do you just pick up whatever's in front of you and try to defend it?
Well, here's my thing. I've said this before, even on social media several times, like, don't just forward on some other post you see that you're like, ooh, that's cool, unless it's like something you can really say that's valid. And I mean, this goes like for, especially for this opening ceremony stuff, and for you, especially the Christians, it was a offense made, and it was completely a mockery
again
on purpose. It's not, why would you accept all the pop, this again, propaganda spewed about, and even, I've seen this all over the place. Like, I'm a pastor and I'm telling you that you should react this way and all this stuff. Well, look,
if you're a pastor, you should quit.
Well, no, I'm not saying that you should go burnt. Like, okay, here's before I say that, if you had done this to Islam, what do you think Paris would look like right now?
Here's my problem. You should be outraged as a Christian.
Well, you should.
You should be outraged. You should be offended.
But what would
you Paris should be standing up and saying,
yeah,
this is not something we are willing to tolerate.
But what would Paris look like if this
was would be a wasteland?
This would be, you saw what happened from the Hamas when they attacked Israel, right?
Yep.
That's what they do. If you offend them, if you are, which honestly, that whole thing, no matter if it's Dionysus or not, is an offense to Islam.
Yeah.
You would just rain hellfire on France, right? So look, the fact that we didn't do that should speak volumes to the to what we believe in and everything. And can I ask you something?
Sure. You can ask me anything, Reggie.
Why does anybody follow Andrew Tate?
All right, so you and I kind of talked about this a little bit, but here's what I think Andrew Tate is at the core of it. And I'm not particularly, I do agree with some things that he says about masculinity. I believe he's very right about certain things.
Yeah.
But I think Andrew Tate is a product of the attempt to destroy the masculine energy in the world. Andrew Tate's, if you look at Andrew Tate's history, Andrew Tate's father was former military for the U.S., had an IQ that was just astronomical, was an amazing chess player. And if you go back and look at some of the things that Andrew Tate's father said, they've all come true. Like, if you go back and really look, and I've done some research, right? I do not like him in the sense of I'm not a fan. I don't want to follow Andrew Tate. I don't really propagate anything that Andrew Tate says because a lot of it is bad. But I think he is a product. Andrew Tate is a product of what happens. Just like I believe that Catholic priests turning into child molesters is a product of trying to retard God's plan for man and woman. I believe that Andrew Tate is a product of the world attempting to destroy masculinity as an excuse for everything that is bad. And he is railing against it in a very maniacal and sometimes out of control way.
I mean, here's my thing. He railed about why we weren't outraged and all this kind of other stuff and everything else about the, you know, why aren't Christians marching the streets? But they were, there was if you didn't know this, huge protests, right? Like the day after, flooded those streets, dude.
And kudos to a lot of those Christians who flooded out that night and lit candles and sang. And that was their way of protesting. We are going to raise God's name. We are going to glorify the Lord. We are going to sing to the heavens. And you got to go away.
Yeah. Anyway, I just think it's funny where people like that. He was a day late and dollar short. He goes to do his own protest. There were like 12 people showed up. But
yeah, well, you know.
Anyway, I just find it's just silly because he doesn't understand the biblical ideas of any of forgiveness, of tolerance, of judgment, of manliness. He doesn't understand. Again, he's speaking to things he doesn't know.
Well, he's speaking to things he doesn't know. And again, I think that he is a very prodigious product of, again, a world that is trying to squash men left and right.
Speaking of squash.
Like the fruit?
No, about squashing.
Squashing.
There is an incident. I just want to remind everyone just how the left reacts to something that offends them.
Go.
I want to remind. There was a 9-year-old boy that went to a Chiefs game. Yeah. Who was dressed in a headdress and had face paint on. They ridiculed this little 9-year-old boy.
They attempted to societally and several other ways crucify that kid.
So you're telling me that so something that is such a small matter of a boy, a 9-year-old, you're going to tell me that you're okay ridiculing this 9-year-old boy, and then you're upset when we, as a Christian, who are millions of Christians across the world, see something that mocks the like faith. A cornerstone of our faith, and you don't what?
Dude, I don't know.
So you were ridiculing and attack a child. These are grown people who are mentally ill up on stage in Paris. And so anyway, look, I just find it's appalling. And look, here's the thing. It's not going to change anything for God. I mean, it's like, you know, it's not that the reason why Christians aren't offended, but yet they're not like going to raise Paris for it. At the end of the day, he's still sovereign. He's not affected by this nonsense. He expects it. And I mean, and for me, I look at it as like, yeah, this is another example of how twisted the world actually is and how much they need him.
Here's something I don't understand. And let me break this down for you. Maybe you can explain it to me. We won't attack Islam, and Islam essentially calls for,
oh yeah,
just murder,
genocide.
And, but we'll go after Christians, people who believe in loving one another and being kind to their neighbor and, you know, everlasting life through faith in Jesus Christ and all the good and plenty things. And we, you have freedom of choice. You know, you can choose not to follow it. So it's not a brainwashing thing. You know, I made a choice. Nobody brainwashed me. And we're the bad guys.
Yeah. Because we actually promote something that calls them to a higher standard, and that really calls out their BS. And that really elicits a fear, because now all of a sudden there is legitimacy to something that says, oh, I am going to be held to an absolute standard that this infinite, all-powerful, all-omniscient being is going to have. So, yeah, hence the whole need to be, you know, need to be seen as right and push that in everybody's faces. But anyway, so, I mean, it's just silly. And I think it was really, it's such a circus.
Yeah.
I haven't watched a lick of the Olympics. And really, I wasn't going to watch any Olympics anyway, because I was really irritated by the Olympics committee's decision about some of the trans stuff they were allowing.
Yeah.
Which is evident by that's been all day today. I've seen posts about the boxing match where this biological man was hit this girl so hard in the first round. She was like, no, I'm done.
Yeah.
I mean,
and they think that's okay.
Yeah. And how could you, and it crushed this, she's worked so hard to get there. Her dreams and everything are shattered by a biological male trying to compete in females.
Because he's too much of a panty waist to fight against men, because he can't win.
My point here is that if the Olympic Committee is going to make a mockery of that stuff, I will not participate.
I won't either.
And
and I'll be honest with you. I think the opening, I wasn't going to watch anyway. Or I wasn't going to watch this year just because of some of the things we were talking about. But when the whole opening ceremony, I'm done. I probably won't watch the Olympics again.
It's just foolhardy, dude. It's just like, you know, enough's enough.
Yeah.
I won't, you know, it's just silly. But along that lines, I think this is critical for what we're talking about. The whole Olympic, how they twisted it, how they reframed it, how was there some gaslighting going on, all this stuff. These are all critical elements of what propaganda is.
Oh, yes.
So really getting into this, Brian, where would you say are the origins of how we have propaganda today?
Funny you asked that question, Reginald. Let me read you a little something. The word propaganda comes from the Latin word propagare, which means to spread or to propagate. It first appeared in English in 1718 and was originally used to describe the work of the Roman Catholic congregate, or the Congregation for the Propagation of the Faith, which was founded in 1622 to spread the Catholic faith in non-Catholic countries. The word had a positive connotation for many Roman Catholics and remained religious in meaning until the early 19th century. During the French Revolution, the word took on a more political meaning, and by World War I, it had negative connotations. The term came to refer to the use of questionable information to promote a cause, and the examples of the propaganda from the period include the work of Joseph Goebbels, the Nazi Party's chief propagandist. Propaganda has been used in many forms and is still used in many forms, including print, radio, film, and can be seen in many areas of society, such as government, history, and media. So let's be clear about that. Propaganda was really a religiously used word until the Third Reich propaganda wing figured out that they could use it to lie to people about something that it was not. Basically, Hitler used propaganda through Joseph Goebbels and the Third Reich's propaganda wing to convince Germans and other countries that he had no intention of invading them right before he invaded them. Like, you know, he used propaganda to vilify the Jews. He did so many just vile things. And the thing I want people to understand is what's going on right now with the left is the same tactics that were used then. We're going to steal words. We're going to change the meaning. We're going to tell you what something's going on over here when it's not actually happening, so we can go over here and do dirty things that you're not going to see until they're already over and done with. And it continues on a daily basis. Now, let me be clear. It's not just the left. Fox News. Okay, I'm going to say it. It is propaganda when you run the same four headlines on a 1-hour show, and then you flip to a new host and then run the same four headlines again, and then you flip to a new show and it might be different hosts, but you're running the same four lines again. That is a form of propaganda. What we're saying, like you said earlier, Reggie, is a form of propaganda, but we're using propaganda in a positive way. We want people to hear our message. I don't know a lot of you. You don't really respond. You don't comment. I've got some likes. We appreciate it. But the propaganda we use is to try to help others understand that there is a more and better positive way to handle things, a more and better and positive lifestyle you can live, and that there is a higher standard that you're capable of living by.
Okay.
That was a lot all at one time.
That's okay. Just to add on to that, Hitler did create the Reich Ministry of Public Enlightenment and Propaganda. And I'll quote this from the Holocaust Encyclopedia. It says, the ministry's aim was to ensure that the Nazi message was successfully communicated through art, music, theater, films, books, radio, education materials, and the press.
There were a very, very intricate and in-depth series of movies created by the Nazi Party with Nazi heroes.
Yes.
There was so much that was done there. That, you know, but another, you know, an example of current propaganda of sort of the same sort is that whole magazine cover with Kamala in a crown sitting on a coconut. I'm not really sure. And it says Kamalot, or I don't know how you pronounce that word.
Well, I mean, here's another example. The Time cover that I bought yeah. the print of. That's a type of propaganda.
It is. Yes.
Right. I mean, and this goes real deep into thing. I mean, there are, and we're going to have a ton of stuff in the description, because frankly, there are so many different ways and theories and all this stuff to, we can't discuss all those but what I think is important to understand here is that in 2024, there is very little you're going to open up, whether it's advertising for a company, whether it's for a product, for a service, for a political campaign, for an organization or whatever. It's propaganda.
Well, it's like I told you the other day, Tide laundry detergent since the 70s has been advertising their laundry detergent as something that will cause you to emotionally be well, and your family, it will bring your family joy. And no offense, but when I, even if it's clean, if I hand any by my family a basket of laundry they got to put away,
dude, they're not think really about happy. On that, on the, yeah, think about that. The Calgon,
yeah, take me away,
right? It shows this whole euphoric experience by using Calgon, right? That was crazy, and it's still today, it's vivid. Like, I can remember all that, like, Calgon, take me away. I can. That's silly, dude.
The Smurfs.
The Smurfs were propaganda?
Yeah, they were. I mean, think about all the products they sold. Think about, it's all propaganda.
I'm going to get into this because I think people might get mad at me, but Star Trek is propaganda. Now, I like Star Trek.
Of course
it is. I do. I watch Star Trek, but I realize I look at it as what it is. And they'll tell you, Gene Roddenberry and all the creators, I mean, they had it in mind they were very much a socialistic mindset. Like, yeah. That's what they thought would, because they thought their way, that was the way it was going to intend. So they built a whole universe,
yep,
a fictional universe around this idea. Okay. Now, because I think if you want to look at it, Star Trek is one of those like uber leftist utopia ideas.
Yep.
I mean, it is.
Star Wars.
Well, Star Wars has a bunch of different elements. So you do have like rebellions, and you have,
yeah, I mean, and you got the dark side,
the
and
the Empire, light
side, and it look, man. And the thing is, I'm not kicking propaganda, right? But what I'm kicking is the maluse of it, the misuse of it. That's what I'm kicking. When you're, look, guys, most of what you read, I mean, Instagram influencers are propagandists. Because they're trying to convince you that whatever they're doing or however they're doing it is the proper way to do things. You don't see the editing that goes on and the pauses in between shooting and, you know, the staging of things. You don't see any of that, but it's propaganda, right? It's just all propaganda. And one of the things that, you know, I looked this up and I thought this was interesting in the Encyclopedia Britannica. Now listen closely, because there's a phrase that's going, I'm going to say in this that I'm going to key on. What is propaganda? Propaganda is the dissemination of information, facts, arguments, or rumors, half-truths, and lies to influence public opinion. Deliberateness and a relatively heavy emphasis on manipulation distinguish propaganda from casual conversation or the free and easy exchange of ideas. Let me go ahead. Half-truths and lies to influence public opinion.
Here's it, and I want to say this too. Immediately after the Trump attempted assassination, you saw the reporting of this from the left-wing media. They used specific words.
They did.
Specific words on purpose.
Very specific words.
Apparent was one of them, and disruption was the other one.
Alleged.
Well, yeah.
Was,
yeah,
used.
Alleged apparent
assassination disruption. Attempt. Yeah.
Because it took a good probably day before they actually started calling it an assassination
attempt. Yeah. And then they tried to, after three or four days, attempted to claim that, put out a bunch of propaganda that it might have been a stray piece of shrapnel from an item that was struck by a bullet and blah, blah, blah. The man got shot. Did he get shot and die? No, but he took a bullet.
The other thing that we could look at too is like the statistics are used for propaganda and really in a, I would almost say a criminal manner anymore.
Yeah.
To just distort and manipulate an outcome to suit a particular agenda. And this goes all over the place as far as like political spec. They all do this, but the, I mean, like when the biggest one I've seen so far is like, they'll have a some kind of mass casualty event. And then you see these statistics that come out all the time and all that little print at the bottom, if it's there, hopefully it is, because they need to qualify it. We'll say like how the statistics were put together, what it means and all that. You got to look at that stuff.
Drug companies.
All the time.
Pharmacies.
Look, pharmaceutical companies. Even the food and the
FDA.
Big food industry, whatever they want to call it.
Big food, we'll call it.
Yeah. I mean, look, the pyramid, a scam meant for something else. They manipulated that in order to, you know, all kinds of the things, right? The
body mass index, right? The BMI.
Total hogwash.
Total garbage.
Yeah. Right?
No scientific anything.
It's misinformation. Matter of fact, I think it's actually classified as disinformation because it's like a blatant misuse of that stuff. Anyway, so what we'll get into like some specifics of propaganda, but I actually want to ask you this, Brian.
Okay.
How can we really tell propaganda from not? If at the very key of this is actually knowing and understanding truth, right? So how can we see truth through the murk, I guess I would
say? By using the tools that we carry around in our hand, number one, we have access, quality and truthful, access to quality and truthful things. So one of the things that you and I talked about this is willing ignorance, willing to be ignorant for the sake of being ignorant. It's too easy to get on to the internet and go find the truth. Most of the time it comes up in the first article or two, but Google even does propaganda by, you know, we're going to boost up what we want you to see, not what you want to see. A great example would be when you typed in assassination. For the longest time, now it does, but for the longest time, it wasn't the attempted assassination of Trump, the hottest story in the world at that point. It was the assassination of, Truman? Truman wasn't. No, so it's a different president.
Well, you had Kennedy.
Yeah, but it would pull up anything. It would assassinate a squirrel. It would pull up anything but Trump. You know, Facebook is commonly guilty of propaganda, using propaganda, but in a way that's kind of new, and which is calling good information disinformation and then deleting it and then coming back later and going, oh, we're sorry. Now that you've not been able to see it for 3 months, we'll let it come back up now.
Yeah, the fact checking
garbage that Facebook does.
But people need to know this. This is a fact. The fact checking organizations that are commonly used, and I don't have the research to say specifics at the moment because I don't remember where that is now. But when I looked at this before, the fact checking organizations that were being used were all left wing promoted and funded. Let that sink in for a minute. Your fact checking all has a rooted funding.
Polls.
Polls
are propaganda.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
Okay, but
statistics can be manipulated, so polls not accurate anyway. But to answer your original question, stop being willingly ignorant. Go do your research. Stop believing everything you're told. I'm not being a conspiracy theorist. I'm being a realist. If you really want good information, pull your head directly out of your behind. Go get some proper information and then make your argument.
Okay, I'm going to put this because we could go on this for a little bit.
Yeah, we could. Yeah.
But I want to ask you this, dude. What if my whole worldview, my whole perspective was relativistic in that I don't believe there is objective good or evil. I don't believe in objective truth. It's your heart wants what the heart wants. Your desires are what So how could I, and if I have that attitude, how could I actually even realize truth in anything we're talking about?
You can't.
Bingo.
You can't. You cannot. You cannot honestly, you cannot follow your feelings to the truth because your feelings won't lead you there.
Exactly.
You know, but I'm going to ask you this, Reggie, being someone who is an educated man, which I appreciate, how do you think that a change could be made in academia that would help people find truth?
That's a long answer. However, let me try. So academia has some brilliant minds, but they're in a bubble. So you have a lot of these very, very intelligent, very savvy individuals who are writing books, doing research in a bubble, in their own, like their own life experience have been in academia. So their kind of perspective is all grounded. Cause let's face it, the majority of the institutions we have now that aren't privately funded, by the way, are very much left-wing institutions.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to get back. I think academia has got to get back to looking at things not from an agenda-driven perspective, which is what they've done. They've allowed an agenda and a certain point of view to infiltrate and then just erode the quality of what they're doing for the sake of the agenda. So if you ask me, like, it as an educator, and from my experience, like, you're going to do better and you're going to form a more educated and, like, I would say wise civilization if you put your agenda aside and just focus on the actual core material. Okay. Don't let the core material be dictated by propaganda or by agenda either. That needs to be all rooted in what has been found as truth and facts. We cannot let the truth and facts be swept away for emotions and feelings. And that's exactly what the institutions have come to. Now, liberty is not like that. It's very much we'll teach you all the perspectives. You can figure out, you know, whichever one, and, you know.
But you can figure out through what? Research.
Research.
Right?
Well.
And that is, and part of that too is I blame on social media. If you look at social media, social media has mastered distraction.
Yes.
Oh, this meme means something. Bam. Here's a funny meme. Bam. Here's a serious meme. Bam. Here's a friendship meme. Bam. Here's a gym meme. Bam. So you latch onto this 6-second dopamine rush of, oh, that's very impactful. But most of the time it's nonsense. If you really look at it, right? You know, there's a social, Instagram, Facebook, all those social media platforms have mastered distraction, keeping you off the target, right? And for me, that's why you're this current generation who has this 5 to 10 to 15 to 20 second attention span. Most of the time when they see something on Instagram, it's the truth. Oh, it's they're giving truth. No, they're not. They're giving you an opinion based on their emotions because that's what they want to, that's the chord they want to strike.
Let's qualify this a little bit when we say, I think an influencer by default.
It's in the name, man.
Is a social media influencer.
Yeah.
Now that could be tied to a professional, a subject matter expert because they're using their subject matter expertise to influence through social media.
Which, however, at times can be
very nice,
legitimate,
very awesome. Like, yes. You know, there's a bunch of guys who, and they have to legitimize themselves. I think this is yeah. Where I'm at. Like, it's not like I would go to anybody and watch one daggone post or read one daggone post or watch one clip or reel or something and go, Oh, he's the man.
He's an expert.
He's such a no. It's like there has to be this experienced. I guess you'd say a record of being that and doing that at a high level.
Very fair.
So for instance, here let's go back to this whole wood splitting thing. There are freaking thousands of people out there who post videos about axes and wood splitting now. For some reason, people don't do this anymore. So everybody's like fascinated by it, which I find completely just kind of silly. Makes sense, though.
Yeah.
But if you watch some of these guys, though, and they'll sit there and give this axe review.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay. And then you watch them pick up the axe and swing at a piece of wood. And you're like, what?
You're like, whoa. He split wood with an axe.
No, I mean, it's just like, it's just, no. you know, you have to have some credit. What I'm talking about, credibility. So there are plenty of people out in social media world, land, universe, whatever you want to call it, that are very much subject matter experts.
Yes.
Okay. And it's like, if you go to like, if you want to know about psychology of something, certain thing, specifically some of the stuff, I'm just going to say Jordan Peterson, for one, has established himself as being a very, not just well-educated, but he taught it. He had tenure. He had all this. I mean, look, the guy's obviously knows his psychological stuff.
Well, and by and large understands and knows the importance of the research. So yes, I would agree with that.
The other case would be like in the Christian spectrum, like there's a lot of Christian influencers out there, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're scholars in the field of, and you don't have to be. I don't want to, let me make this clear. You don't have to be.
Again, we're not making an argument from authority.
No.
Right. We're making an argument from research.
Well, let me get back to this though. The truth thing. This is what, cause I really want to make sure this is clear. If you say your truth is your truth, my truth is my truth, then there is no truth. Let me just make that. If you say your truth is your truth and you say your truth is your truth, there is no truth. There can't be, because there's nothing to say who's right or wrong. You're just saying truth, that whatever's the truth. The reason I bring this up, and what, because we're going to, the part, one of our topics that we're going to come up to is truth. But the way that the culture dictates that we see things, good or bad, is based on what you feel.
Yeah.
And that's wrong. It's not, that doesn't lead that's you not to, truth. Well, it doesn't lead you to the reality. And I think this is what I'm trying to get at. The more you ground yourself in the reality we live in, the better off you are. If you, feelings won't get you there.
Yeah. They at all.
Emotions zero. Won't get you there.
That's zero.
But rooting it in absolute truths, which there are absolute truths that you can find, like, you know, mathematics is a great example of, like, you can find absolute truths in mathematics. Now, I know the higher end, any mathematician out there, yes, you can throw out all kinds of, you know, very high level stuff that leads you to different directions. I don't want to get into that, all this weird, the higher end stuff, because that gets into theories and everything else. The same thing with physics. Physics has laws. They call them laws because they've been demonstrated time and time again and can be looked at as, hey, there is actually this force called gravity, you know, and it actually has an equation that makes that consistent across, you know, whatever we're in or whatever stuff and how the planet's moving. I mean, look, there are things like that we can ground things in truth. So it's not, I'm not even saying you got to be like a Christian in order to know some of those. I think being a Christian helps quite a bit though, because it gives you an objective truth towards morality as well that most of this propaganda is trying to aim to. But I think that's critical to understand is that You have to look at truth beyond emotion and feeling and to actually root it into reality that we live in. That's my whole point.
Well said.
Indeed. Ding ding.
Check mark. Check mark.
So, okay, Brian, let's we've talked a lot about, you know, what generalization of propaganda. And especially when that applies to just freaking everything. So let's, what would be some particular interesting propaganda tactics that you find yourself going, huh?
My favorite is bait and switch, honestly. My favorite is bait and switch. It's when, you know, an example would be, prosperity gospel.
Yeah.
The reason, and here's what I mean. There's this, we know the truth of the word. We know the truth of the Bible. The Bible does not promise you wealth and riches. It promises you wealth of spirit, the riches of the riches of the spirit. But when someone takes a verse from the Bible and says, I'm not going to take the whole verse. I'm just going to take this sentence. I'm going to mute everything above it and below it, and I'm going to use it as propaganda for you to want to do something for me in a belief that somehow magically something's going to happen for you. That would be probably the most disgusting example, right? In the sense that you're asking me. Another one would be great. You know, when you run into people who are bigoted or racist, they like to use the verse, do not be unevenly yoked, and then they stop. Well, yeah, man, I could take an excerpt from a Shakespeare play and turn it into something if you give me a minute, right? But it's when they chop up the truth to create a lie. That is the best example.
One of the common ones, I think, for me, that it just blows me away that it's even that, and it's used so much, as identity politics.
Yep. Very true.
Because we have, I mean, look, because at the end of the day, this is where we get all this like prejudices and racist kind of language and bigotries. And I mean, it's just, oh my Lord, phobias and yeah, yeah, yeah. It drives me insane.
And all the hot bucket of garbage that goes with it.
Oh, gosh. It's just like, because look, you cannot deny that every single human being has a bias towards something. Because we all have preferences.
We do. Yes.
Well, we have to. I mean, if you have no preferences, then how are you even living?
How are you alive if you have no preferences?
You're the most boring person on the face of the planet. Yeah. I mean.
You're literally meh.
Everything is taupe.
Meh. What do you want?
Maybe puce.
What do you think? Meh.
Meh.
What a pathetically beige existence.
The living meh emoticon.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, but it's like, you know, they try to ramp it, you know, towards this certain person and frame it a certain way, pointing at this identity specifically about certain things. It just drives me crazy.
It's the chopping up of the entirety to pull out a meaning that's not there, right? I mean, okay. So another perfect example would be the border crisis. Let's take a look at that. All right. So if you listen to Trump, he likes to use this phrase. I think it might be as many as, or it probably is already 20 million people. I've heard him say that like 50 times in the last 2 days.
Well, frankly, we don't know, but you know.
Okay. And then on the other side, well, those migrant trains are not crossing our border illegally. They're coming to freedom. Neither side is right. But their emotions are allowing them to pull half-truths or lies, just like the Britannica said, half-truths or lies out to benefit their position. I have always said, if you're willing to sit down with me and have a discussion and we can go back and forth, I will listen to your position. I will consider your position. Does it mean I will change mine? No, not necessarily, but it may broaden my perspective on mine, right? I've always invited people, if you don't believe what I believe or you feel like I'm wrong, I would love to sit down and have a civil discourse with you about whatever it is that you think I'm wrong about. And I've had my mind changed a time or two on certain things, right? But there's some telltale signs in a discussion that you know that more than likely whatever is going to come out of their mouth is some kind of half-truth or lie propaganda. Number one is when they immediately heighten emotion, like immediately. Like, what is his name? Piers Morgan's show. What I really love is when he'll have guests on, and Pierce is pretty steady in the middle for delivery. Don't agree with a whole lot of what he says, but he's pretty steady in the middle with his delivery. But when someone is trying to cover up the fact that they don't have knowledge or they don't have the complete picture, they immediately go into this emotional fracas right there.
Which is
right?
Also called emotional politics.
Yeah. It's, and you have this, you know, or when the greatest question I can ask, and more people have stopped conversations with me when they will make a bold proclamation about something. And then I go, well, can you give me a source? And then it becomes, well, I don't have the source right here in front of me. I don't know exactly what was said. I don't know who said it. I just heard it. Well, no, you misunderstood what someone said and turned it into what you wanted it to be. So I don't know, man. It's,
well, here's another great example. And I think this is so vast and has been for the last like 8 years.
Yes.
Ad hominem.
I hate that phrase.
I know it's kind of silly.
I hate that phrase,
but it's like, instead of talking about the issues that Trump has proposed, it's always about him.
Well, it's like the Heritage Foundation. I don't even think Trump really knows what that document says, but they love claiming that he somehow is conspiratorially using that document to mold it.
I hope he is.
I kind of hope so too, but
I like the document. I think it says a lot. That's good.
And the thing is again, there's been propaganda about that. The lies that, well, they're against paying overtime. Actually, it doesn't say that in there at all.
No.
It says that you should be paid fair wages for the time you work. You should be paid overtime. You should be compensated. I don't know. You might have a grasp of English, but you obviously don't have a good one when you pull something out of it that simply just doesn't exist.
Because they prey on those people who aren't going to take the time.
They depend on those
people. I would say that.
They don't prey on them. They depend on them.
They depend on them, yeah. I mean, they really are after the people to say, hey, we're going to throw this out there. Now, we know it's garbage, and we spend this a certain way, and it's misinformation, disinformation, half-truths, lies, whatever. Here you go. Use this and deploy it out in your propagandist ways.
But here's what really, ta-da, really upsets me is how dependable they are.
Well, every time.
Every time.
Every time.
I learned this in college from my professor who taught theoretical social politics. Well, first of all, theoretical in the beginning, you said the word theoretical, which means it's a theory, not a fact, you know, or, you know, when I was taking college courses, I took a sociology class, which this is a whole nother episode, but I think sociology is utter garbage and it is not a science. It is a runaway train of emotion is what it is.
Yeah.
It's not, there's no bearing out of anything in sociology that I could find to be factual. It's all based on politics and racism and racial divide and cultural divide. Sociology is the attempt to sound scientific when explaining feelings. That's what sociology is, right?
Well, so I think there's a legitimate sociological field.
But it's not a science.
It's a philosophy.
It's a philosophy.
Maybe. I don't know, right? How that would classify, you know, really, but I get what you're saying.
It, you know, quantum physics is a science. Chemistry, those are sciences. And what really got me is I did really well in the class, but I was... One of the things that really upset me was, and it was kind of a blatant and obvious kind of, you know, billboard of this, I don't really have any facts to back up what I say. I was asked to write a paper arguing against the professor's point, right? So I wrote like a 12-page paper arguing against the point. And I took that to heart. I argued against the point, but I argued factually. I put sources in my paper.
But you're supposed to do it academically.
I got 100 on the paper, but in the notes at the bottom, my professor stated, "You did a good job at opposing me, but most of your views are utterly wrong." Although I put factual sources into my paper, arguing my positions, because emotionally it didn't fit where she was at, I was wrong. And that, to me, tells me everything I need to know about sociology. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not 100% sure. When I took a psych course, and I'm not 100% sure that I know that psychology is very intricate, and there's a lot of detail and a lot of truth and studies that have gone on, but every argument that my psychology professor put up was an emotional garbage argument.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, I think that's the point where I realized that it's infected academia in a way that is almost incurable. It's the terminal disease of academia.
But this all goes back to the propagandist way the Nazi regime took propaganda to a whole nother level that elevated into the page after page of tactics and stuff we have.
Yeah.
I mean, they really took that to another level.
They did.
Now, I'm not saying that, look, I mean, there's been propaganda for, like, you know, even back in, you know, even talking about the Greeks as long as there's been societies, dude, we've had propaganda. I mean, yeah. So you can't, it wasn't called that and it wasn't known by that, but I mean, you've always had stuff like that.
Yes.
But I mean, I think that there's just so much of it now that it's a whole study you could do on just propaganda.
Yeah.
That's how vast it's become.
Well, because it's permeated every aspect of life this point. Like anything you do, anything you watch, anything you see, movies, Hollywood, TV shows, you know, another version of it. And this is probably going to get me hated, but every TV commercial I see now is swayed to the far left as far as the representation of the people in it, the representation of how the product is. Oh, well, we support this organization of blah, 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 blah. I don't care. What is your product? How will it help me in a very ground level, practical way? And then shut up. I don't care about your feelings. I don't care about your company's feelings. I really don't. I bought this phone because it had a very nice camera. And it had a big fold-out screen so that I could do notes for the podcast and things like that. I don't care if you donate a dollar to the dancing elf troupe of the, you know, blah, blah, blah. I don't care. I just don't care. Give me what I need. Give me the facts, right? I don't care about your feelings. I don't care about, I don't care. I just don't care. Like, and that may sound very harsh. I just don't care. Now, if we're friends and you have something that's going on in your life that's affecting you and you want to sit down and have a conversation with me that has nothing to do with you attempting to rope me into some kind of, great, let's have that conversation, right? You and I sat down and had a conversation the other night about, you know, our families. And it was a very honest and open conversation. And I felt like it was a good conversation. We weren't trying to pull anybody to one side or the other. We were literally legitimately communicating with each other about landmark things that happened in our lives. That is what we've gotten away from, right? We've literally escaped reality in all ways. And we're now we live in a fantasy world. Because not because it's an actual fantasy, because that's how other people have learned to live, to not face reality.
Well, yeah, I mean, it goes on ad nauseum.
Oh my gosh. Oh, this is, I wanted to do this. Reggie will tell you, when we started lining out subjects, I got really excited about propaganda, mainly because it's just, it's so ugly. It's just the ugliest thing going on right now. Like if you were going to go across the board, if you asked Brian, if you could wipe out one thing, I'd just wipe out propaganda. Because if you wiped out all propaganda, all you would have left is the truth.
But you would be missing the promotion of some truth that needs to be propaganda.
Well, but what I'm talking about is, you can even say like, that. I'm talking about like,
I know what you mean.
The destructive, here today, gone tomorrow, BS, half truth or lie that is used every single day to sway the willing ignorant or the actual ignorant, either one.
Yeah. I mean, there's all, so in the description, there'll be a couple of links if people just want to, they can check those out. There's an exhaustive list of
propaganda
tactics and stuff.
And maybe, you know, Reggie and I talked about this. I don't know if we're going to do it, but we could put some pictures in of some famous propaganda. Uncle Sam wants you, right? That's propaganda. Well,
I probably won't have time. I'll be honest.
But honestly, so. Or maybe I'll send Reggie just a couple of links to some of those pictures, because there are some funny propaganda out there, right? Like the whole propaganda that the U.S. military used in the movies, where it's Hitler with his pants down around his ankles and this is, we're going to get you with your panzers down. I'm like, dude, that's just. But they were using that to pull people into fighting in a war against a evil dictator, which that's what Hitler was. Let's be clear. Hitler was a piece of human garbage.
Yeah. I mean, look, everybody, I think everybody can agree. In other words, that's pretty much an absolute truth at this point.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, there's so many. And I think one I do want to talk about is gaslighting, though.
You know, Please, Reggie, what would gaslighting be, sir?
So according to here, hold on, because I'm way down on the article, but I'll put it here. Sowing seeds of doubt in a target individual or group, hoping to make them question their own memory, perception, sanity, and norms.
Gaslighting.
Now, look, this is exactly what the Olympic opening ceremony was part of. This is part of it.
It was giant gaslighting.
We know that we just mocked this, you know, piece of art that is a critical cornerstone of the Christian faith. So what we're going to do is we're going to put this little target out to say, no, it wasn't really that. It was this. And we're going to put all these little doubts in your mind so that it helps you just back off of your offense. And just eventually, if we do it enough, you just won't pay any attention anymore.
Well, yeah, isn't that the entire? I mean, it's
so. Yeah, that is done a lot.
Yeah,
and a lot of it starts with like a misrepresentation, then some disinformation, and then you know, then it leads into this whole broad category of gaslighting, because now you've done all this half truths, lies, and everything to just keep sowing doubts, throwing it in there, trying to get. Elicit that whole thing. Well, maybe I looked at this the wrong way.
Maybe I don't understand. No, you're clear.
Yeah. I mean, it's another tactic that they do, especially in the political spectrum a lot about things. So I do want to say, like, advertising in general is propaganda.
Yeah.
Talk about so the elements of the advertisements, like with the music they use.
Yes.
The color schemes they use. The
dramatic.
And even one of them is like one of the tactics is Beautiful People, which you see that like they'll have these like magazine covered people that are in the advertisement for a reason. You know, it's like the words they use and the repetition of those words. All that is a propaganda scheme to get you to elicit a positive response to the product.
And let's be clear, even the Beautiful People is gaslighting, because they're airbrushed. Those covers are, one of my favorite is the old bodybuilding magazines, where you would see the guy in the supplement, and the guy was like all, you know, gooey and out of, and then all of a sudden, bam. Well, I watched a very interesting documentary where, like, a lot of those guys, they're master photographers that paint on abs and adjust lighting and do all these things. So you're being lied to.
Yeah. Well, I know. And a lot of advertising is like that. Yeah. The one that, I think is really criminal these days is demonization, because you get this, you get a certain, then this happened. This is really, was really critical for the Nazi regime, was demonizing the Jewish community. It was like they had to just keep on making it seem like the Jews were not human. They were something else. They were bad. Innately, they were bad. It's like they had to keep doing that over and over. So it was an ad nauseam demonization, right? Mm-hmm. And like we talked about before, we already talked about a couple of these things, but the other one is just like understanding that it's just red herring, oversimplification, selective truce, the cherry picking, all of these things are tactics that are used on freaking every minute of the day you're seeing, whether that's about a particular pharmaceutical, whether that's about a food, whether that's about an agenda or an organization or whatever. I mean, it's just everywhere. So more than ever, it is so important to just be aware that you're trying to be manipulated in all kinds of different ways, all over the place. Some of it's good, but most of it's bad.
Well, like, you know, one of the propagandas that's really famous for Nazis and the Jews is they like to propagate Jewish people as monsters floating behind Russia and America and Britain as the instigators of war. That was one of the ways that they used the excuse to eliminate the Jewish population, which in all actuality, the majority of Jewish people are completely anti-war.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Right. Like they're very anti. I have Jewish friends. I have, you know, met some very high quality Jewish people in my life, and none of them are spoiling for a war. Right. But that was the way that Hitler portrayed them to Germany to make the German people to push them into a fervor to become anti-Jew.
It's what they're trying to do with the white male.
Absolutely.
You know, we're just scum, dude. We're just,
yeah, we're somehow demonized. Responsible for everything. You know, and it goes back to, you know, I tell people all the time, you know, men are responsible for 90% of the luxuries and things that you enjoy in the world right now. Yet we take 100% of the fault for what you don't like about it, regardless of how comfortable it may make you. So it's very, you know, I don't necessarily think it's a war against white men so much as just men in general.
Well, but I'm just saying it's a topic of like, well, that's just the white man doing this, or that's just this. It's a constantly thrown out there as like, that's a bad word to be a white man anymore.
Yeah. But it goes back to what I say to anyone who will listen.
Just are men.
We're just men, dude. We're not. I'm not a white man. I'm just a man. My race is a man-made social construct. It wasn't made by God. And as I've always said, if it wasn't made by God, I don't really put any power or credibility behind it.
Yeah.
You know, God did not make all white men. God did not make all black men. He made a plethora of different races and creeds, and they were intermingled and brought together all throughout history. But for some reason at this point, we are trying so hard to separate all the races and turn them against each other. You know, there's a movie, I've watched it a couple times. I love this movie. I recommend anybody to watch it. It's Nefarious. Have you watched Nefarious, Reggie?
I think so.
Okay, so it's about a lawyer who is a atheist who goes to, or not a lawyer, I'm sorry, he's a psychiatrist who goes to a prison to decide whether a guy is mentally fit to be put to death. Well, the man he meets in prison is possessed by Legion. And the whole movie is this discourse between these two men, which, by the way, it's an amazing movie. And all through that movie, the demon that possesses this man is giving away the secrets of the propaganda that the devil used to cause one third of the angels in heaven to turn against God. And let's be clear. This is a very poignant thing. This is how good propaganda is, right? One third of the beings that saw all the splendor and glory of God in heaven, you were looking at perfection and propaganda turned you against it. Think about how powerful that is for propaganda. When you are a being that is created in the glory, around the glory, and in the presence of the perfection of heaven in Christ and God, and you are talked into turning against it.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty,
that's how powerful propaganda can be.
Yeah. I mean, it's, there's a thing here to say as much as, okay, let me kind of try to wrap this up.
Let's wrap this up. Yeah.
So I think it's important for us. If we really want to make things in our society, and we want to get more truth out of the, I think we really need to be conscious of the fact that we are inundated with propaganda type of things. I mean, we have to. And the only way that that's going to make any difference if we stop allowing it to work.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the only way that things would actually even change.
And it's a remotely. Very simple way to do it. Do your homework.
Well, I know, but even if you do your homework now, you're going to run a, there's so much information out there. You can pretty much back your agenda from all kinds of different sources, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody's going to have a perspective to that they're going to start from and work off of. So, I mean, at the same token, you know, you're never going to be in a perfect society like that, but at least we can make an effort. You know, I think that's really what I'm after. And the main central point here is to, you know, quit. We got to quit doing these sharing posts of memes and all this crap that are just stupid. You know, I mean, that's
stupid.
I whatever your belief is, man, it's just dumb. And I've been guilty of doing crap like that before. And then have to delete it later. Cause it's like, oh, that was total hogwash. But you know, I guess that's what I'm saying. Without grounding yourself in reality and with truth, you're just in a hole.
Well, and always remember too, that just because someone has a difference in opinion with you doesn't mean they don't like, respect, or desire something bad to happen.
Okay. But on that point, that's what we talked about earlier. We all have biases.
Yeah.
We all have perspectives. We all have a belief system, whether you think you do or not. There are issues that you're going to have that are critical to your perspective, that are very much a part of how the universe works in your mind frame. If somebody has a disagreement in those areas, you're not going to be one of those who just lets it go or whatever. And I mean, you can allow that to just pass by or whatever, but I'm saying they're likely, if they have a very different opinion, they're not going to be like the buddy who you call up, hey, let's go get a, because they have fundamental differences in their perspective of the world.
Yeah.
So when it's like, if you see all these things, you don't have to like everybody. You don't even have to respect everybody, and to the extent that they're a human being and you got to treat them like a human being.
Yeah.
But it's not like you have to like everybody that has a different opinion. I just want to make that clear.
And even more important, in no way, shape, or form do you really need to be liked by everybody.
No.
One of the things that I've always been grateful for is my ability to not give a rat's patoot about what someone thinks of me. If you have a poor opinion of me and you haven't talked to me directly, who cares? Oh, anyway, I don't like Brian, you know.
This
oh, okay.
Is, yeah. I mean, this is just a big issue, man. I think that we're just in this, we got to get a little wiser. I mean, with how we interpret information is thrown at us every single second of the day.
Very true.
It's just inundating all the day, all day. And I think, you know, look, staying off of social media and only making that, like, you lessen that time quite considerably is going to help you out. Now, there are, I mean, look, there's people's jobs are social media now with like, yeah. with companies and things. I get it, but it's like, I think for the layman out there who's like for me and you, like, I don't get on social media like that much. I try not to.
I subscribe to funny videos.
But anyway,
it's nothing funnier than a guy.
We just
falling down.
I just hope everybody just chooses truth over some kind of other thing. And, you know, it's okay to talk about things.
Yeah. I'll take it a step further. I just hope they seek the truth. They may not have the truth right now, but seek the truth. Look for the truth. Use your critical mind and your critical ability to think and look for the truth. Stop buying cheap outs. Stop taking the thing that's in front of you that you don't know that much about and assuming that it's the truth.
Yeah. Well, anyway, watch out for the propaganda.
Yeah.
Propaganda. We try to be as little, I mean, some of the stuff we do can be labeled as a propaganda.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, that's the nature of what you, when you have an opinion, you're going to have a,
you're going to propagate your opinion.
Yeah. That's exactly
the way it works.
That's exactly what we're talking about.
You know,
we're R&B Talks.
Like, subscribe, argue, all those things. And do me a favor. Seek the truth, man. Just seek the truth. If you do that, more often than not, you're going to find the right way.
We're doing a special live event on Thursday. I done it on the 8th.
Thursday the 8th, live event.
We're going to go live. I have a class requirement to do a ministry event. So there'll be a portion of the episode of sorts that will be dictated, and it's the subject matter is the ecologies of faith applied to the biblical man.
Yeah. That.
So we'll talk about the whole ecology of man, the ecology of, even going all the way to the cosmic ecology of how God created everything, but the man, the ecology of the marriage, the ecology of the family, the ecology of the community. I mean, all those things and how that's related to the actual biblical man.
Ecologicalisms. Ecologicalisms.
I know. Ad nauseum. Uh-huh. It's interesting stuff. Whether or not I would say it's not just going to be for men, obviously, because we're talking about, you know, the being a husband, being in a marriage, being in a dad as far as a family unit and all that stuff. So
being a member of the community.
Yeah, it'll apply to more than just men, but it's because I am one. I'm going to really in our show. So it'll be a special live event for on the 8th. So we'll probably do it at maybe 7 o'clock.
Okay.
Eastern. So
Eastern Standard Time.
We're out.
I'm Brian.
I'm Reggie.
See ya.
Bye-bye.